fancy festival. Anyone ever seen? So they tell story poems up there, and I robbed one. And here it goes. I was born and bred a sandy one, a royal orange quad, a follow of King William, that noble man of God, a man of no surrender, me flagged a Union Jack. And every year we'd proudly march that Benny and back. As well as that in the field mon as I could mend, I had no time for Catholics or people at that kind. Then one night down in Bangor I met me Rosie Brown, and the minute I set eyes on her, me heart went up and down. And when I thought she fancied me, me head went all abuzz, and I clear forgot to ask her what her religion was. Well, I didn't sleep a wink that night, I just lay there in the bed and I thought about me Rosie and all the things we said. But the next night I met her, I said I was a broadie, staunch and true. She says I'm a Catholic and just as staunch as you. Well, now the words were harsh and bitter, but like centuries of hatred, they were forgotten in a kiss. I knew my love for Rosie would bring me nothing but trouble and distress, but nothing in this whole wide world would make me love wee Rosie less. So I got a bit of money as quickly as I could, and I asked her if she'd marry me, and by God, she said she would. Well, when Rosie's parents heard the news, they were flaming mad. And when mine heard the news, sure, they were twice as bad. Rosie's mother said, when she recovered from the shock, I'd rather see the devil than that ma from Sandy Row. And mine said, you'll rue the day you let a popish girl steal your heart away. Rosie's father said that from that day on, he hung his head in shame. And by a strange coincidence, my old lad said the same. We were married in her church. Thank God our preacher didn't leave us in the lurch. And the priest was awful nice to us. I think he liked us. You see, our families didn't come. That night I dreamt a strange, confusing dream. I dreamt I was marching to Finney, singing the Word of the Green. And Rosie was there with us, our hearts full of happiness and hope. And who was there to greet us? Only His Holiness the Pope. We had our religious differences too, you know, on Friday she'd cook fish and I'd say, ah, now Rosie, that's not my dish. Will I not forget what she said to me, and she didn't say it twice. Ain't no meat on a Friday, it's just a wee sacrifice for the Lord who died for us one Friday long ago. So I ate the blasted fish, and it isn't bad, you know. The house that we moved into was nothing but four walls, but it was far away from Sandy Road and further from the falls, and we wanted it that way, for both of us knew well that back among the folks we knew, our lives would be just hell. Life went by till suddenly one day, Rosie up and tells me a child is on the way. Well, I couldn't believe the joy a child yet unborn could bring. It was like a flower that unfolds its petals in the spring. First Rosie's parents, and then mine came to show. But I was awful disillusioned when I found out why they'd come. For it wasn't to stop the fighting, nor to make it up again. From one side to another, insults and threats were hurled. What an awful way to welcome an angel into this world. And unto his mighty wisdom, I must bow my head. Because when our son was born at last, he was born dead. And that night I knelt at Rosie's side and I waited for the dawn. And I kissed her and she left me to join our angel son. And this royal heart was broken within these four walls. Now where the hell was Sandy Row? And where the hell was the falls? Shilling.
Next up is Annie Bracken.
This is a shoulder gaze. For I am but mistaken of steps upon the staircase, for I am but mistaken of rattles on the door, for I am but mistaken of drops upon the grey lace, for I am but mistaken of spinners on the floor, for I am but mistaken of lies upon the straight face, for I am but mistaken of bodies on the shore, for I am but mistaken of walls upon the tall space, for I am but mistaken of tremors at my core. For I am but mistaken of sharp pains within my brain, for I am but mistaken of repeats not my own. For I am but mistaken of laugh menacing and sane, for I am but mistaken of all such we condone. For I am but mistaken of unheard wording unknown, for I am but mistaken of all my us in bone. For I am but mistaken of terrors I have not sown, for I am but mistaken, mistaken of the drone. For I am but mistaken, mistaken I am but for I am mistaken but, I but am mistaken for, I but for mistaken am mistaken for I am but, I but am for mistaken, mistaken I am for but.
Yeah. Woo!
Thank you, Ali. Next up is Cliff Wedgbury.
This poem that I wrote for the memory of my late grandmother is called Hey Nana. We affectionately called our grandmother Nana. And in the 1940s, 1950s, she lived in a little street of terraced houses near the London docks. And it was a real community. They'd all been through the Blitz together, everybody knew everybody else. But in the early 1960s, the council came along and said, because you've got outside lavatories, toilets in the backyard, we're going to condemn the houses, they're slums. So they started knocking the houses down and putting people into blocks of high-rise flats, which, you know, are dangerous places now. And Nana didn't live long after that. Hey Nana, this is where you used to live in 1953. We had a street party for the coronation, and you carried out all of your brown wooden chairs. Victor the Lodger ate his dinner on the settee, while I sat next to the cake in the middle of the street and didn't get any. One by one, they knocked the old houses down. Then it was your turn, with rats running everywhere, screaming their heads off as you chased them with kettles of scalding water. Now I know why you won the war. I could hear the stout bottles clinking in your big black shopping bag as you climbed all those stairs to your new flat overlooking Woolwich Dockyard. Hey Nana, did you know a golden halo appeared above your hairnet the moment you closed your eyes and your teeth fell out forever? Mum lit a nightlight off since she'd laid you out. My dad telephoned the doctor and the co-op. We found 88 pint bottles of Guinness in the cupboard under the sink. All as empty as your post office savings book. We buried you down the same hole as the two husbands you outlived by 30 and 35 years. And when the vicar threw in a handful of dirt, Uncle Fred tossed in his old bottle opener and began to cry. Hey Nana, so did I. So did I, walking down the Frog and Toad from Stepney Green to the Old Bow Road. I see the changes taking place, the little streets have gone to waste, and the high-rise flats are here to stay. But the Cockney Sparrows have flown away. The high-rise flats, to the 15th floor they now belong, the backyard fence finally gone, the terraced streets have all been cleared, and the old East End has disappeared. Like a lover with his broken dreams, like a lover with his broken dreams, I bid farewell to the pearly queens. Good night, Nana. God bless. The end.
Aww. Thank you, Cliff. Next up is Sue Cosgrave.
I committed to writing a naming poem for my nephew next week, but wasn't inspired at all for weeks and weeks. And then I was at scene last week for Maureen McManus, and the title of her collection was We Are Bone, and that inspired me to write this one. It's called Child of the World. You are bone, child. Your muscle and sinew, too. You are bone, child. Your flared nostrils and swift feet. You are bone, child, your eyes blue as a pool lit from within. You are bone, child, knit strong by your mother and all the mothers that went before her. You are bone, child, nurtured by your father and all the forefathers to the beginning of time. You are hair and skin, your fluid like time, water coursing through your veins, nurturing oceans. You are that little frown that puckers your brow, your fingers, child, fingers that shall grow to delve into the world, exploring myth, shaping reality. You are toes, child, toes that shall root you into the fertile soil of tomorrow. You are soul, child, elusive like air, as tangible as laughter, a fury, a tempest, a calm, freedom, perhaps. You are fist, child, a fist that releases goodness and mischief in equal measure. You are smile, child, a smile that cracks the clouds open for sun to break free, to bless your white brow, to warm your heart. Child of the sun, she names you as only she can, child of the world. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Next up is Eugene Crowley.
Unlucky for some, GF, Cork University Hospital, processing plant for pigs. Taxi ride to Waterford, ECT, taxi ride back to Cork. Rayland, artist, Albert, doesn't want ET. Dr. Campbell, of the old school, long stay, interned 31st of March 2017 to Bastille Day next Friday, Searsham. Real end November 2016, still patient, awaiting Dr. Campbell's seventh application of electroconvulsive treatment. In 1948, Paul Robeson sang at the Tchaikovsky Hall, Moscow. When he returned to the US, he was given bouts of ECT treatment.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eugene. Next up is Patrick Cutter.
Cow shed. The man who slept in the cow shed leant on the cattle for warmth. They let him suck milk straight from the teat, and he never had a hitch scratching his back on their horns as their bells jangled. If he needed his face scrubbed, he would spray himself with grass juice, and the cows would lick him clean with their fuzzy tongues. In cafes, people shifted their chairs away from him. He reeked too ripe, like melting camembert or malines. People thought he might have roosted with chickens, only for coops being too cramped. One day, in desperate humour, he shrouded his head in the caul of a just-born calf. It had a lacy-looking quality, even if it felt as tacky as taffy. He heisted the village post office, thinking nobody will know where. They simply cleared his own account for him and sniggered as he made his getaway. He owned a perfectly good house, good for living in. But after his widower dad died, he took to the shed. As a boy, he had glimpsed the ghost of a serene, well-limbed girl milking the cows. So he began to sleep among the moors in the hope of seeing her again. And after years, when he'd forgotten her, he still slept there. Someday, he mulled, I'll move the cows into the house when I have a spouse I can share them with.
Thank you, Patrick. Next up is Shane Collins.
Great poems, actually. So, I'm Shane, and this is a poem I wrote like ages ago. But anyway, here it is. I need someone to get me out of this bad dream. It can happen to anyone, or is it just me? A psychological process at times can be nauseous, seemingly on with issues and false promises. But even though I get nauseous from a certain consequence that I commit in my thoughts to my conscience, I think it is real, even though it's fake and it's a mystery. I dream about the Lord and I don't know by using blasphemy. But even though I get up, commit a sin or a felony, this Lord is invisible, is ready to take it mad at me. And in the Bible it says I need some time to pray for my beliefs that mightn't even be alive. And I ain't saying that the man is fake, but somewhere along the line it must have been a mistake. When all these religions giving different descriptions, a vision of a leader that probably doesn't listen. And when the mask last listens, I look to my past and search for another witness. There appears to be none, I might as well stop and done. The future doesn't even know today's young blood. And I know you want to feel this way, but the truth will be revealed, unfortunately. But for now, these answers are unknown. Whoa. And I know you want to see the light, but the solution's sealed, they're wrapped up tight. It has took so long, now it's overgrown. Whoa. And in my mind, I feel that I'm invincible. In the real world, my thoughts are just invisible. But thanks to music, my mind needs search through a pencil, and the possibilities of what I think can become probable. Although the obstacle is not cute as a poodle, it will fill you with fear and widen to dilate your pupils. You need to have power to urge a crowning of cuticles to found these answers that will eventually be beautiful. That's all we hope from these eternity of signs. The punishments back then were immoral and were a crime. But people are praying and saying my belief is right. How do you know? Where is the proof that you can shine in my face to create a realism of this man you see? Seeing him bearded, again I don't know with blasphemy, but once I see proof, then I can die and live life happily, knowing that there's a heaven up above to take care of me. And I know you don't want to feel this way, of course, and the truth will be revealed, unfortunately. But for now, these answers are unknown. Whoa. And I know you want to see the light, but the solution's assumed, they're wrapped up tight. It has took so long, now it's overgrown. Whoa. Thank you.
Thanks, Shane. Good man. Next up is James O'Loughlin.
I actually came here for a while and I haven't come in a while, and it's probably my last night coming for not a while as I'm heading away. So I just wanted to say that you created something beautiful here, everyone be, and it's such a lovely night. And yeah, thanks very much for that. Yeah. So this is a little poem. I love the idea of unexplained phenomena, so this is my own personal unexplained phenomenon now. So this is for the end. It's the dead of night, you wake with a jolt, a mini lightning bolt to the brain, and you're told she's awake again. Straining ears through the crisp clear air, no sound emanates, but on your mind it grates that sixth sensation. She's awake. Light steps across the carpet and down through the hall. A certain aura glows, but still she's not awake. A finger to push, a head on the door, and before that first glance she sends you, you know. And through a custom darkness meet four pearls of light. So before her whimper turns her cry, she's furled in her arms, the soft lullabies, and asleep again.
James. Next up is Michelle Delay.
The second is coming down. Everyone will be beautiful. I think our generation and as a people at the moment in general, in fairness to us, we concern ourselves with what's going on everywhere, and we try to, at least we have the intention of becoming less ignorant on that. But something that I think is being ignored a little bit is that we focus on that so much that we kind of are a bit ignorant on what's going on even on the other side of our own cities. And I think a result of that this week was the fire of St. Kevin's, an old cigarette hospital. I think that's eventually where the two worlds meet, and that's where they met, and this is a poem on how I feel about that. It's called People I Don't Know Personally. A prison cigarette is an inch long and a pinch thick. In exchange for two, a traveller on a parched bench imparted advice. It's two for one in Middleton to make your teeth white, and if I and my made-up other were to spend to suffer this for an hour, we'd have a much better chance at finding employers he respectfully left with an expensive smile so futile. Forgetting his gear beside me, forgetting it just for a few minutes. 6 a.m, Sonas Apartments, Knocknaheeny. The caretaker thought he'd seen a bin bag blocking the back door. It was an anorak rooming three kids, the eldest of which, Sophie, 7, said, our parents came home drunk, so I thought my brothers would be safer here instead. Can't bring them in, can't bring them back. Can't call services and face another heart attack. He leaves Sophie with her 7 years of survival skills. A few feet south, and a week later, a teenager, dragged from the caretaker's bed of flowers by his screaming Skagen mother, who beat his blood free from the passenger seat, and he spilling puddles of pride, still on a high of the greatest achievement of his life, setting the roof of St. Kevin's alight. Huge news, the boys made it big, from taking a picture of it, to creating a mini apocalyptic scene. Destruction, desire, smiles, tracksuits, fibers, diffuse the musky dust that 5 train trucks fought to stop. What then did the damaged mind see asleep in the flowers? The price of a nice house spent on a pitch and the fencing around it, which a Honda Civic flattened then tore up the expensive untainted grass before being lit in the centre of it. A mushroom cloud of we don't want help. We don't carry respect, not for ourselves, then why do you all shriek when we don't have it for anything else?
Thank you, Michelle. Next is Alexis Campbell-Bannerman.
Mickey Finn. Car park. Crappy bin. No. 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 No housing. Local sin. Your ideas reach really far, but how? How can I live in a car? You can be my white Kanye West tonight. Mickey Finn, full of sin tonight. The mental asylum is burning down, but Mickey Finn is in the brogue right now. The brogue right now. The brogue right now.
Next up is Jack Shortland.
Jackie Shortland.
Oh, Alexis, how do I follow that? Thank you. This is a pantoum, so if I sound like I'm repeating myself, it's because I am. It's called Our Guardian Angels, and it's for Coit, my childhood friend from Bandon, where we used to play in the woods, in memoriam. We were wild and blessed, and we fed on fallen nuts when we played in the trees overhanging the river. How we didn't meet our deaths, I do not know. We could have got pneumonia, or been poisoned, or drowned when we played in those trees overhanging the river. We concocted perfumes and potions with the rainwater and the weeds, and we could have got pneumonia, or been poisoned, or drowned. We could have broken our necks, or set fire to ourselves with our concocting of perfumes and potions with the rainwater and weeds, and making torches with twine and melted candles on sticks. We could have broken our necks, or set fire to ourselves, or been sucked underwater, never to surface again, with our makeshift torches from twine and melted candle on sticks. Thigh deep in the reeds on the slippery stones, we dipped our jam jars. We could have been sucked underwater, never to surface again, never to survive, to grow to fear the thought of being of lying deep in the reeds on the slippery stones with our jam jars. How we didn't meet our deaths, I do not know. But we survived to grow, and we never thought to fear when we fed on fallen nuts and were wild and blessed.
Next is Cara Kirsch.
I unfurl like smoke, floating like floaters gliding behind eyelids. Moaning, sound escaping in capsules, spacing out silence, splattering my mouth matter in mumbling moments. I'm fumbling, flicking, and thumbing through my notions, which bit sticks and slots into the right fit. I feel my body wondering about my mind as I walk to a mirror and I look into my eye, and the sand sifts slowly, filtering through my hand. As a weight wanes, my hand starts lifting, and I get lighter and lighter, and I float to the ceiling. And I shiver as little bits of my skin prickle up, and my mouth, it starts to sing, and something sinister insidiously lingers on the tip of something forever bigger. And the background gets wider behind the pitter-pattering and smattering of fragments I'm weaving into the ether. What lies behind things where no shadows are cast? I ask this cavernous cask in the roots of my masks. Each wave of a thought anchors me to a thread as I build up this web laden heavy with dread. But I feel the fear and I find its stem, and I pull it from the earth and I spit love into its flower bed. I flip a feeling as if I'm flipping a switch, and I pause. And the pure presence of everything smiles slightly and yawns, and a cloak of gold is put down, and it spreads over the whole mind and emanates in waves, and I'm holding it all close in an intimate embrace. And every piece engaged, it all clicks into place, and we all breathe in and out, and we know we're safe. And my heartstrings feel as if being played by a bow, and what radiates is the one golden, beautiful note.
Thank you, Karen. Next is, I think it's Charles Clark. I can't read the writing then. Is that your writing, Charles?
Okay.
Sorry, guys. Charles
Clark. Well, no party songs. Notice on the border pub. No, you're in County Donegal, the county of the O'Donnells, Niall Garb, and Red Hugh and her Scotch wives, of McLinchy, Red Shanked, McSweeney's, and Long Dan, the Gettigan. Parents keep their children up late and crowd the public bars on Sunday evenings. They need big men feed their claws with Brussels, and fish, and Dublin, about everything else. They are hospitable, most venal, and they find the modern world rather difficult.
Thank you, Charles. Next is Philip Spillane.
Mm-hmm.
The sea is her artist. She slides to pieces in her thousand hands. She hides the shells and bones unplanned. Then it becomes a loose mosaic of crumbs and sands. The sea is her poet. It whispers lusts with her salt tongues. It slips waves that slides on the shores. The cliffs stand instrumental, clashing cymbal sounds subtle and loud. The sea is her friend. From the coast she departs. We bury the boats in her whispers. We travel on her poetry. We become part of her art. We move with the sky. She guides us with her signs. From the oars we push on our pores. The sea is our end. When she decides, she rises. When things are, she builds a wall, and we fall into the cold. We become part of our art and our poetry.
Thank you, Philip. Next is Kieran McCartan.
Good man, Kieran.
Fluidity to mix. You require the fluidity to mix. A dry ingredient entering a broth, while the broth must always stir, requires equal measures of liquid. You require the fluidity to mix. Yet your edge is always hardening in a mix of conversation and glances, a whirlwind of time questioned by ideologies. A shaven face against a stiff cold wind from the north grows a beard. The ratio of depth to hardness in your shell is determined by the heat of the incident that led to the hardening of your shell. You must be liquid enough to change course, sensory enough to adapt. The durability of your shell can only be learned in experience. Hard edges have soft centers. And you know this because you were once an egg.
Thanks, Kieran. Next is Carl Holden.
Yes, sorry. What an amazing mic that was. So this is a poem that I had the luck to perform at the 101st anniversary of the Easter Rising there. It's called The Fires on the Hills. The sun, she sank behind the crest. The waves were breaking in my breast. I turned my heart towards the west. My breathing was the only sound. The moon, she wept, and so did I. A diamond in a panther's eye. The sacred empress of the sky. My breathing was the only sound. I beat my drum, my heart and lungs. I sat and sold reflections from the glitter silver of my tongue. I sucked the blister on my thumb and knew to know I had become. My breathing was the only sound. I saw wheat in the fields that will never be bred, for they bandage and swaddle to misshape the head. They beat swords into plows, into offering plates. But they sacrifice women on the altar of state, where vultures are feeding on salmon and trout, for the river had burst from its throat to its mouth. The chiefs told the people they must shore up its banks, while the shells in the harbour all siphoned and drank. In a dandelion nation, its seeds on the wind, that pisses the bed when it's asked to let in. Asylum seekers and justice and soul, for the kings and magicians are all on the dole. Ibrahim, Abraham, prisons and tombs, Easter, peacekeepers, teachers and tombs, Ishtar and Ashling and Jesus' wounds, the Lord in a pipe and a garden in June. Through that bitterest blackness, the darkness of doubt, I heard Ireland's call for the barman to put on a stout. And the whistles were blowing, blowing from glen unto glen, for the treason of trying to make monsters of men. Now in that fog my curragh sank at sea, my vision swam 12,000 leagues, with braided vines and knotted leaves, and washed up on a silver beach. Along that shore of ash and oak, the forest lent me of its cloak. In my ear it softly spoke, said, all are welcomed from the cold. Now on that summer's night we build these fires on those holy hills, beneath a sky the clouds have filled, or stars have gathered in their quilt. The fires spread out through the night, lit in reply on every height, from centre to the edge of sight, the darkness burned away by light. The sun is rising in the east, our hearts have come to join the feast. The river flows from most to least, our breathing is the only sound.
Thank you, Carl. Next up is Alana Matthews.
So I've never done this before and I needed a bit of a push, so Alexis, I said, can you please just give me a topic, and she gave me the topic of rivers. So this is a poem about a river by Meshwin's Pajan. She poured some passion from a cup, took a sip, just a sup, and felt a river brew with depth. It kissed her lips and hugged her neck. It bit her teeth and chewed her gums, murmured in her ear, rendering her numb. The river lapped for nights on end, while moonlight bled with sunlight's hem. Bones eroded, nails decayed, thoughts of him clung to her gaze. Tears were blood and words were stone, how terribly sad to be alone. Until one day the river ran dry, left her toes as a gentle sigh. She smiled with relief and downed her gin, but a lovesick girl she'd surely be again.
Thank you, Alana. And our ultimate reader of the night and winner of the 5-word challenge, Dave Ford.
After much, I wasn't really prepared for this, so I hope I can remember it. It's called The Milk Tray Man. Now, I know I'm taking a risk doing a poem based on an ad that's 40 years old. May not mean much to our American friends or to anybody under 40, but you can look it up on YouTube. I recommend it, and that's it. There's a few of my crowd here as well. So yeah, The Milk Tray Man. He was on the ads on RTV from 1970 to 1993. Really? All dressed in black, you'd see him there like a cheap James Bond, jumping out of aeroplanes, skiing down mountains, and inexplicably standing on the roofs of moving trains. All because the lady loves But he did not honestly deliver his chocolate by the front door. His route was round the back, it was sinister and more. As he'd creep up the back stairs into her bedroom, leaving the sugary deposit of his domestic violation. Times have changed. I have several problems with this advertisement. I will give you three. One, has he not heard of shops? Milk tray is not hard to find. There is no need to jump out of airplanes, ski down mountains, or inexplicably stand on the roofs of moving trains. They sell it in Costco, Tesco, Lidl. You can buy it again and again. Secondly, it's milk tray. possibly the most rubbish chocolate there is. It speaks of late-night garages and desperation of men who've lost all inspiration, or men who simply do not care of a relationship broken beyond repair. And number three, it's not good enough. If somebody is going to go to the effort of jumping out of airplanes, skiing down mountains, and inexplicably standing on the roofs of moving trains, I want the best chocolate in the world. I want to receive chocolates made from the finest organic cacao, tempered into fineness by the slender fingers of orphan Tibetan children, flavoured with the nectar of endangered Himalayan orchids, and filled with wistful tears of bewildered hummingbirds crying out for their lost habitat. That's what I want.